Sunday Lifestyle on 96.5 Inner FM. Now, Australia has officially entered an economic recession with two consecutive contractions in GDP, in gross domestic product, going backwards. Now, the last quarter showed Australia falling off an economic cliff at negative 7% growth. Well, going backwards 7%, so we're officially in a recession. What does that mean for you? Well, Claire Rush, economic commentator, joins us now, director with Deutsche Bank for 11 years, where she dealt with the financial crisis of 2008 firsthand, currently with Eni Lubricants and Oils, the general manager. That's Italy's biggest company, and of course Claire works in the Australian office of Eni Lubricants and Oils, economic commentator, and she joins us now. Hi there, Claire.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good. Let's start with, there's so much to talk about, Claire, isn't there? We could...
There is.
Oh, it's, yeah. it's a little scary, or maybe not. So, yeah, going backwards 7%, it's different to ever before, where people's movements were restricted and all sorts of circumstances where we've fallen off that cliff. So because it's a world first and we haven't seen this before, should we be looking at these numbers a little differently, Claire?
Oh, I completely agree, absolutely. So obviously this is now Australia's first recession in nearly 30 years, but I see it as a statistical recession in that, yes, the statistics, the two consecutive GDP declines, that means it is a recession. But actually, when you really dig into the numbers, it's more interesting reading than this scaremongering headline. So there are different things, different components that add up to the GDP. One of which is household expenditure. And that is what families do in households, what we're all spending our money on. And of the 7% decline, 6.1% of it was made up by households not spending money on services.
How interesting. I see. Once you break it down, there's like a big clump of money because people couldn't spend money, could they?
No, exactly. That's it. Because then if you dig in further into, okay, is these services, what are the services that make up household expenditure on services? Dig further, there are two really big drivers that contribute to the fall in GDP. This is that households are not spending money on transport and accommodation. And then the two next are catering and recreation. But we can't. We physically cannot do that. So it's not that we don't want to. I'm sure we all would love to be going on holidays and going out, you know, for meals and back playing sport. But especially those of us in Melbourne would be very aware we can't do that at the moment. So it's not that we don't have the money to do that, or that we're so scared of a recession that we're holding on to our money. It's that we physically cannot, which is very different to any previous recession.
That's right, never seen before. So, yes, very interesting. We break down GDP and there's those sort of sectors that you mentioned, so maybe it's not as bad, as you say, a statistical recession. But then we look at people losing their jobs, Claire. So this mass unemployment and also this government stimulus, which might be sort of wound back. So I take your point. We can't spend the money, transport, accommodation, the travel sector. I'm talking from Melbourne, which is big on the services and foods and cafes and things, and that's all been closed. So, but what about these people now? They've lost their jobs, so they might not have the money to spend in those sectors when we eventually are allowed out again, Claire.
Yes, and you're completely right. So our employment figures, obviously unemployment figures, have ballooned. We're up at over a million people unemployed at a 7.4% unemployment rate, which is huge. But the government has done a fantastic job of stepping in and supporting us. And the speed with which they've done that is quite remarkable. And I think if you compare it, say, to previous recessions in other countries where it's taken a long time to be able to step in, the way they've got quite a few different levers that they've pulled. They're using helicopter money. So that is when they're putting money right into the pockets of the people, with the likes of JobKeepers and JobSeeker. They're using monetary policy, so, you know, cutting back interest rates.
Yes.
They are, infrastructure spending. We've got, obviously, all the stimulus packages. We've got lending support from the central bank. We've got potential tax cuts coming up in the next budget of being, very strong indications they'll be brought forward. So the Australian government is really pulling every lever possible to try and support us.
So, Claire, did they learn something? As we say, this is completely different and brand new, but you were at the coalface for the 2008 GFC, and in Europe too, where it hit harder than it did here in Australia. So did we learn from that experience? You talk about the government doing a good job, putting the money into the economy, the helicopter money. You wake up one morning and it's in your account. Beautiful thing. So did they learn from that? And you give them a tick, they're doing a good job.
Oh, I think a fantastic job. So if you compare in Europe during the GFC, which was probably one of the most stressful times of my life, being on Europe's largest trading floor at Deutsche Bank, and the market just falling off a cliff, and it was incredibly hectic and stressful, and a very different set of circumstances like this, because we couldn't actually see why it was happening until it happened. Whereas there, the governments mainly relied on partly on monetary policy. So they were, cut rates incredibly low. That's the interest rate very low. And in a lot of Europe, actually went to negative interest rates. That means if you want to put your money into a bank, you have to pay the bank to look after your money. So that's an entirely different scenario.
Amazing.
And then also quantitative easing. So this is when the central banks, they use their money to buy government bonds. So this quantitative easing, the thinking there is it goes through the financial system. So they're putting the money, through government bonds, through corporates, through banks, and it eventually will trickle down to those of us on the street.
I've got this image of someone, I've just hit my microphone there, sorry. I've got this image of somebody, pulling all these levers, all this, as you say, the quantitative easing, and well, let's pull this one, and the dials and knobs. And is that basically a simple analogy of you and others, who are economists, work out a strategy as to what buttons to push to just get it going again, get the train going again?
Yes, I think, Pat, you've hit the nail on the head there. That's it. There are so many different levers, and you have to choose which ones would have the right results, and also not pull one too hard so then it overshoots.
Yes, right.
Because the other thing we need to start, worrying about, or not worrying, but be watching, is inflation. So in all of this, we don't want inflation to go too high, or at least we just need to be aware that is a potential overshooting of inflation could come on the back of this over the next few years.
Yes. And does the rule apply for the government where, the good old fashioned, I'm sure listeners are sitting at home saying, sure, Pat and Claire, it's all great, let's spend money and pull these levers, but what about debt? We've got this big ballooning debt, which for someone in an average household is always a concern. But is it a bit different for the government? Is there a bit of wriggle room? We're going into this massive debt, but compared to other countries, are we okay? And should we be concerned?
I think that's a great question, Pat, actually. So I'm based in Perth, and our Premier, Mark McGowan, I asked him that exact question.
Oh.
I think you're doing a fantastic job, but I've got children. I don't want my children to have their lives saddled with this huge debt burden. And his response was, well, first, we just need to figure out how are we going to get out of this, and then we look at those next steps. Now, I would say, and talking to some of my friends who are also work closely in the economy, that with a debt this size, realistically, the government, we're not going to be paying this back, I don't think. This is just my view, is that we can't be likely to pay. So in Australia, for example, it's over $200 billion worth of debt now. Realistically, we can't be paying that back. So how do we get out of that? If we can inflate it away. So if you have inflation, then all of a sudden this huge debt burden doesn't seem as large. So that's why I'm saying now the thing to watch out for is inflation. I think that there could be a benefit for the government to have up inflation on the upside. The US came out recently saying that they're no longer having a hard cap at 2% inflation. They're happy for it to go on the upside. So if the government inflate away the debt, it's a bit like, when you say you buy a house, if you bought a house 30 years ago and your mortgage seemed huge at the time,
due to
inflation, your house is now worth more. Yeah. So your original mortgage feels a lot smaller.
Yes. You look at your $400,000 mortgage, you go, oh, that seems so big when I first got it. Now it's, I can sell the place and pay it off. Yeah, okay.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I say, inflate away debt. That's what I mean. Is that in inflation. So therefore now I'm starting to say to people, just be wary that there could be inflation coming, which is fine. It's just how do you position yourself for that?
Now, with your role at E&I Lubricants and Oils, it's a national company, different sectors that you deal with. So I'd be really interested to hear, maybe from the state versus state. So coming to you from Victoria, you mentioned you're in Perth. I think mining, I think sort of wealth and, Perth is very sort of lucky in that position. So is Victoria okay versus Perth? And I reckon Brisbane and Queensland seems to be going through a bit of a boom. So what parts of the economy should, which parts of Australia should be concerned?
So with the role with E&I Oils and Lubricants, as you say, it's a nationwide role, and we sell oils and lubricants into a whole range of sectors. So you could have a motorbike or a car, right up to large industrial items. You could have, you know, be a food manufacturer, processing plant, refrigeration, every sector, anything that you can think of pretty much needs oils and lubricants, which is a fascinating role for me because I get to interact with all these different companies, and I'm always learning so much from all these.
And it's something
you
don't think
people.
About. It's not, as you say that, yeah, oils and lubricants, everything needs that product, and it's often something you don't even think of. Yep.
No, yeah, exactly. So when I first took on the role, I didn't realise how interesting it would be. It sounds like it wouldn't be that interesting.
Well, Claire, I've got to tell you, when I read it was the largest company in Italy, I'm thinking, this is massive. There's a lot going on.
Yes, yeah, so it's got a market cap of a Rio Tinto or Commonwealth Bank. So E&I is absolutely huge. It's the 11th largest oil and gas company in the world. It's just not particularly well known in Australia. So it's only about 3-4 years ago we brought the oil brand into Australia. So I feel a bit like I've got, you know, something like a Coca-Cola as a brand going into a country that's never heard of it. It's huge brand.
Really? Yeah, okay. So yeah, it's a household name everywhere else. But anyway, well, after being on this radio program, Claire, it will be a household name. That's how big my audience is.
Great, Pat. That's what I love to hear.
So, sorry, I jumped in there, but you were talking about the different sectors through your experience at E&I Oils. Yep.
Yes. And so in Victoria, as expected, things have really quietened down in Victoria. We do have some of our clients that are now more interested in working on their business rather than in their business and looking, you know, how to improve some of their systems and the like. But it is a slowdown. So there's not wanting to invest any money into implementing change or those types of things. That kind of your holding pattern is that we're seeing in Victoria, which is, you know, very understandable. Mm. Having said that, in the industrial sector, a lot, you know, and in the agricultural sectors, even in Victoria, life has to carry on to some regard. So we are still seeing at levels of activity, you know, decent levels of activity there. Then we have both, Queensland, as you say, we've also noticed it seems to be booming in certain sectors as well. That seems to be a very active area. And then across WA, particularly in the mining clients, we're seeing now... there is a lot of activity, but we're having some interesting conversations with people that are interested in cost saving benefits. So rather than just going on the, cents per litre or a price, understanding the total cost of ownership and really cost saving and seeing, you know, that there are difficult times to come. How can I manage this within my business over the next 5 years and position myself now to manage some of those costs over the longer term?
Great. There is some opportunities in there, as you say, to work on the business. Mm. So in summary, as we go, Claire, the numbers, a statistical recession, but, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, it's not as bad as it looks. We can, once we start moving, there is parts of the economy which will start to spend and it'll start to go in the right direction?
Yes, actually. And one of my favourite stats in the GDP numbers, I haven't actually touched upon, if I've got a bit of time to discuss so it's the household savings ratio, and this is how much a household generally saves of their income, and this has rocketed up. So it used to be around about kind of a 4-4.5%, and in the latest release it was 19.8%. Shows that people have the money, but they're saving it, they're putting it in their pocket, and this is a mixture, as we discussed before, that they have nowhere to spend it, but also a slight fear of, maybe there is a risk.
The holding pattern that you mentioned, yeah. I feel that in my own life too. You might have the money, but just to hang on a tick before I pay anybody, you want to know where it's all going. So, okay,
exactly.
That's good. So they're saving lots and lots. So we're saying to our listeners.
We need to get that money out. We need to start spending some of that, because the way helicopter money works is you put it in your pockets for people to spend it. So you need to start spending the money, and then it trickles through the economy. If everyone just sits and saves it, it doesn't help the economy, and then you get this spiral effect of then GDP comes down again, and then you get, you know, that fear mentality.
Let's make a shopping list for our listeners, Claire. I think a large screen TV, is that a good one? What should we spend it on?
Go for it. If you need 10 TVs, and go for it. I always say, you know, support the local businesses where you can. You know, if you have, and I know Melbourne obviously is still in lockdown, so it's much more difficult. But if you have some of your, local coffee shops or the like that are selling gift vouchers, you know, for to be used in the future, that's supporting the local smaller businesses is a great way to actually get that through.
Okay. I'm just thinking of my local gym, you know, where when all this hit, the COVID stuff hit, I did stop my membership. I should have hung in there, shouldn't I, Claire? He's a local business. I feel guilty about that. He's closed now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, has he? Closed for good?
Well, no, I don't think so. But when I walk past, I see the doors shut, and I think I should have hung on to my membership. But anyway, so I'm going to buy a large screen TV, toilet paper, hand sanitizer, tons of that. No, I think there's, and different, as you say, local businesses will travel. Let's get out and travel within Australia when we can and all that sort of stuff and get the economy going again. Thank you, Claire. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Brilliant. Me too, pal. That was great.
Claire Rush, an economic commentator and general manager at E&I Oils and Lubricants.